So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on the glories of Lord Varaha. So today is the auspicious day of appearance of Lord Varaha. So we are very fortunate to have him on the call. So Prabhuji, are you present here?
Hare Krishna, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Mataji, I am here. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving a valuable association and time. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. We will get started. My best wishes to all of you on the appearance day of Lord Varaha Dev today. Today is Varaha Dwadashi. Let us chant Mangalacharan.
Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tise Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sarva Prana Natha Vishwambara Jaya Nityananda Gada Dharera Ishwara Jaya Jaya Sarva Prana Natha Vishwambara Jaya Nityananda Gada Dharera Ishwara Jaya Jaya Advaita Adi Bhaktera Adhina Bhakti Dana Diya Prabhu Udharah Dina Jaya Jaya Advaita Adi Bhaktera Adhina Bhakti Dana Diya Prabhu Daraha Dina.
Hare Krishna. So my sincere gratitude to Her Grace Prithivilasini Mataji for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you today. And my sincere gratitude to all of you for joining this conference call on this very auspicious tithi of Varaha Dwadashi, the appearance day of Varaha Dev Bhagwan. So we will discuss one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita because this is a Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Adi Leela, chapter 17th, text number 19. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 17.19.
वराह आवेश हैला मुरारी भवने तांद्रस्कंधे छड़ी प्रभु नाचिला अंगने वराह आवेश हैला मुरारी भवने तांद्रस्कंधे छड़ी प्रभु नाचिला अंगने वराह आवेश हैला मुरारी भवने तांद्रस्कंधे छड़ी प्रभु नाचिला अंगने.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation.
One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of the boar incarnation, Varahadev, and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus, they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard.
Purport.
One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry out, Shukara, Shukara. Thus crying out for the boar incarnation of the Lord, he assumed his form as the boar incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. He carried a small gadu, a small water pot with a nozzle, and thus he symbolically picked up the earth from the depths of the ocean. For this is the pastime of Lord Varaha. Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinakaranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Ajanulambita Bhujau Kanakavadhato Sankirtanai Kapitarau Kamalayakakshau Vishwambarau Dvijavarau Yugadharma Palau Vande Jagat Priyakarau Karunavakarau Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya Prema divya chavi sundaraya tasmai maha prema rasa pradaya chaitanya chandraya namo namaste vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shiksha samayaka purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sharira dhari Kripam Budhirya Tamaham Prapadde Jayati Jayati Devo Krishna Chaitanya Chandro Jayati Jayati Kirti Sasya Nitya Pavitra Jayati Jayati Bhritya Sasya Vishvesha Murte Jayati Jayati Nritya Sasya Sarva Priyana.
Hare Krishna. We are talking about Murari Gupta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in Murari Gupta's courtyard. And we are saying, Jayati Jayati Nritya Sasya Sarva Priyanam. All glories to the dancing, Nritya, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sarva Priyanam. And his dancing is very, very dear to everyone.
Jayati Jayati Bhritya Sasya Vishvesha Murte. O Vishwanath, O Lord of the Universe, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to your servants, all glories to all your devotees, Dritya. Jayati Jayati Devo Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jayati Jayati Kirti Tasya Sarvat Tasya Nitya Pavitra. And all glories to the Kirti, the glorification, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are always pure. Nitya Pavitra, eternally pure pastimes and glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is one of the Mangalacharan verses of Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, the dearmost disciple of Nityananda Prabhu, who is going to appear tomorrow. So my dear friends, in the purport that we read, the last line Prabhupada writes, for this is the pastime of Lord Varaha. So let us try to understand, let us try to hear, what is the pastime of Lord Varahadev? It is mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in nice detail. Maitreya Muni is telling Vidur, and this pastime is being narrated by Suta Goswami to Shaunak Adi Rishis at Naimisharanya. So at Haridwar, Maitreya Muni and Vidur met and conversed. This conversation that happened between Maitreya Muni and Vidur in Haridwar is being repeated or narrated by Suta Goswami to Shaunak Adi Rishis at Naimisharanya, third canto. So Maitreya Muni is explaining that Diti, she felt somewhat insecure that Aditi was being blessed with nice progeny by their husband, Kashyap Muni. So she approached Kashyap Muni, infected with lust. She wanted a child also. She wanted children also. But it was an inauspicious time, but she could not control her lusty desires. And she approached. So Kashyap Muni obliged. And because it was an inauspicious time, and the sexual intercourse was performed avidhi purvakam. It was not performed according to the proper way. It was performed in the improper way. Demons, demoniac personalities with demoniac consciousness were attracted into the womb of Diti. First, through the semen of Kashyap Muni, the embryo was implanted of Hiranyakashipu. So he was inside the uterus, the womb of Diti. Second one to be implanted in the womb of Diti was Hiranyaksha. So this pregnancy went on for years. And after that, when the children came out, first came out Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyaksha was born first, but he is considered younger brother because he was implanted in the womb after Hiranyaksha, after Hiranyakashipu. And second one to be born was Hiranyakashipu, but he is the older brother because he was implanted in the womb of Diti before Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu is the elder brother. So this proves, on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, that life begins at the time of conception, not at 14 weeks of pregnancy or 18 weeks or 20 weeks when the so-called organogenesis, the organs are formed, nor does it happen at birth. Life begins at conception. The Pramani Srimad Bhagavatam. Modern doctors and scientists and religious groups can argue, but the evidence is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Another lesson to be learnt is our consciousness determines the kind of children we beget. Even though we may be devotees, we have to be very careful about our consciousness when we unite to beget a child. If we plan it nicely, we purify ourselves by eating nice Krishna prasad in a regulated way. We live disciplined lives. We are chanting our rounds, minimum 16 good quality rounds every day very nicely. We are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita. We are hearing Harikatha, participating in Nam Sankirtan.
in such a consciousness, if the husband and wife together pray in front of Srila Prabhupada and their Gauranitaya, that please bless us with a devotee of yours. Give us an opportunity to serve an exalted devotee of yours, because your movement, your Krishna Sankirtan movement, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan, this Krishna Sankirtan movement needs great devotees. This parampara has to become stronger and stronger. We need acharyas, we need great souls, great servants. Therefore, if you so desire, please bless us with a very nice Krishna conscious child. And then they unite in this consciousness with good sadhana, with good purpose, good intention, good prayers. Then the child will be a very great personality. So that is the way, that is what we learn from this pastime. Whereas if we just unite for the sake of lust, to satisfy the lust, and then a byproduct of the fulfillment of our bodily lust is a pregnancy, is a child, then there will be difficulties. There will be difficulties. This is what we can learn from this pastime. And then, both these sons, they grew immediately to very big size. They were so tall that when they were breathing, the clouds would get dispersed. They were tall like mountains. Their bodies were strong like steel frame bodies. They were very ugly to look at, but very ferocious and very powerful. And Kashyap Muni gave them the names. The older one was named Hiranyakashipu, younger one was named Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was very subservient to his older brother, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become the ruler of the whole world. So they both performed austerities, they both got benedictions from the devatas headed by Brahmaji, and they both became very, very strong and powerful. Then to satisfy his older brother, to satisfy Hiranyakashipu, the younger brother Hiranyaksha, he started going on a Brahmanda tour. He started traveling all over the Brahmanda. And he could not find any match. On earth, he didn't find anybody. So he took earth down into the Garbhodaka ocean at the bottom where the lower planets are. And there also he did not find any opponent. He went to the higher planetary system, but all the devatas looking at his strength, they ran away. They were hiding, it is described, they were hiding just like snakes hide into their holes in the ground when Garuda comes. Maitreya Muni in the praise of Srimad Bhagavatam is giving that analogy. When Hiranyaksha went to the higher planets, Swargalok, everybody hid in fear of him. They did not want to confront him. Then, in the water regions, in the ocean, where Mother Earth was submerged by Hiranyaksha, he started splashing the water for hundreds and thousands of years. He was just playing alone in the huge swimming pool of Garbhodaka Ocean, having no competitor. And then he decided, let me find Varun Dev, the demigod of water. So he dove deep inside and he went to a place called Vibhavari. Vibhavari is the capital city where Varun Dev lives underwater. And there, in a very sarcastic way, Hiranyaksha went and offered full Dandavat Pranam at the feet of Varun Dev and told him, "Oh Varun Dev, please, oh great lord, oh supreme lord of the water, please, give me a fight. Give me the benediction of fighting with you." And Varun Dev immediately understood that this person is being very sarcastic. Just see the hypocrisy. He is offering dandavat, which should mean that he is becoming submissive. But then, sarcastically, he is insulting Varun Dev and even challenging him for a fight, knowing that he is stronger than Varun Dev. So this is a very, very instructive, my dear friends, for all of us. In ISKCON, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we offer Dandavat. We write a message we say Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam Mataji. On the phone, we say Dandavat Pranam. When we meet each other, we fold our hands, bow our head and say Dandavat Pranam. Or better, when we meet, we actually offer Panchanga or Ashtanga Dandavat to each other. When we offer Dandavat Pranam, it means you are my master and I am taking a subservient position. I am your servant. How may I serve you? How may I please you? How may I facilitate your Krishna consciousness? That is the meaning. So if we are offering Dandavat or if we are writing Dandavat Pranam in a message or in an email or on the phone, if we are saying Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. And then we are talking rudely. So many times I have seen, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Now we start off like that mechanically and then we start chastising in a very, very mean way. Or we start expressing our thoughts which are born of envy. We are envious of that devotee and on the pretext of giving feedback or giving suggestion or on the pretext of doing seva, service, we start talking nastily to the devotee. If we do that, we are being exactly like Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha offered Dandavat to Varunadev and then sarcastically insulted him. Oh, powerful Lord, please give me a battle. Please fight with me. And Varunadev understood his sarcasm and his ill intentions. So Varunadev also gave a sarcastic reply. He said, oh, my dear Hiranyaksha, look how strong you are. Whereas I have become old now. I have become old. So I have given up fighting. I don't fight anymore. But why don't you go to Lord Vishnu? Because if you go and fight with Lord Vishnu, your pride will be shattered and you will be lying down like a dead dog. And all your pride will be shattered. Go, go, go. If you want to fight, fight with Lord Vishnu. He is the original Devata. Hiranyaksha was very, very angry to hear this from Varunadev. He said, let me kill Vishnu and come. I will kill him. Where is he? Tell me. Where is this Vishnu? Let me go and find him. So Hiranyaksha goes searching for Vishnu. By this time, Brahmadev, Indradev, all the devatas, all the suras, demigods, they approach Lord Vishnu, they pray to Lord Vishnu. Brahmaji is praying to Lord Vishnu that look, Bhudevi has sunk to the bottom of the great ocean, Garbhodaka ocean. It has fallen off its orbit. Please rescue your devotee, Mother Earth. Please rescue Mother Earth. Brahmaji is praying like that. As Brahmaji is praying from his nostril, a small, cute little boar comes out. Sukar. Boar is a type of a, belongs to the hog family or the pig family. So this Adi Sukar, the original Sukar, comes out of the nostril of Brahmaji. He is the size of the tip of the thumb, very small. And right there in front of Brahmaji and all the devatas, this Adi Sukar starts growing in size, attains a huge size. And then he tells Brahmaji, be rest assured, I will save Mother Earth. And then he immediately dives into the ocean to find Mother Earth. And he's smelling everywhere, sniffing for the earth. Because hogs or pigs, they like to sniff for food. They will go where all garbage is and they will sniff for food and they will eat. So sniffing is called, you know, su. So susu karoti iti shukar. Susu karoti iti shukar. Su is sniffing everywhere for earth. Where is my earth? Where is my Bhudevi? Where is my Bharya? Where is my wife, Bhudevi? Varahadevi is searching for Mother Earth. Our mother, Mother Earth. He's searching. One of the qualities of earth, which the other elements don't have, water, fire, air, ether, does not have this quality, which only earth has, that is fragrance. Fragrance. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the fragrance of the earth. All the perfumes, all the flowers which have fragrance, it's all coming from earth. Therefore, earth is the source of all fragrances. And therefore, Varadev susu karoti iti sukar. He is sniffing, trying to smell, to find out where earth is, where Bhudevi is. And then Varahadeva finds her at the very bottom of the ocean. And he immediately picks up Mother Earth between his tusks and starts bringing her to the surface of the ocean. And that is when the wicked Hiranyaksha sees this boar. Hiranyaksha doesn't know who this boar is. And he challenges the boar. Hey, wait, who are you? Why are you taking the earth away? So then there is a confrontation between Varahadev and Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha, very sarcastically, he lies to Varahadev. He says, the creator Brahma has given this Bhudevi, this earth planet, to us, the inhabitants of the Patal Lok, of the lower planets, Rasatal Lok. All these lower planets, earth is meant for the lower planets. Brahmaji has gifted. All lies. He's telling lies. All false. He says, no. Brahmaji has given us, so give me back the earth. Don't take earth low surface. And Varahadev, he just ignores Hiranyaksha. And he starts going, swimming to the surface of the great ocean. Mind you, my friend, this is not like the Pacific or Atlantic Ocean. This is not a swimming pool. This is the Garbhodaka Ocean, where planets like Earth was like a small, insignificant pebble that had sunk to the bottom. Earth has Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, Indian Ocean, all these oceans and seas. The entire planet, as if it was a small pebble, had sunk all the way down. But Varahadev rescued Mother Earth. That's what we are reading. And then he brings Mother Earth to the surface of the ocean and impregnates Mother Earth with his own potency so that Earth will get buoyancy. Earth will get the power to float. Earth will not sink again. And he makes the Earth float on the surface of the ocean and then turns around and faces Hiranyaksha. You see, when Jarasandh was attacking for the 18th time Krishna, because Rukmini was in distress, Rukmini required to be saved. Krishna is willing to be called Ranchor. He's willing to be criticized by many people as a so-called Kshatriya who abandoned the battlefield just to save his devotee Rukmini. Krishna could have expanded himself into two forms. One form could have gone to Vidarbha, to the kingdom of Bhishmak Maharaj, fought with Rukmini and rescued Rukmini and married her. Other form could have stayed put and confronted Jarasandh and fought with him and defeated him. He had already done it 17 times. He could have done it the 18th time. But no, he ran away from the battle. He abandoned the battlefield to prove to the world that to rescue my devotee Rukmini, I am willing to be criticized as Ranchor. And because he is doing it for the protection of Rukmini Devi, that Ranchod terminology becomes a glorification. That our Lord, he is willing, as a Kshatriya, he is willing to abandon the battlefield for the sake of one devotee. Just see the mercy of the Lord. He cares more about the protection of his devotees than about his own reputation. Hare Krishna. Same principle here, my dear friends. Mother, it is described in the space of Srimad Bhagavatam as Varahadev was swimming upwards with Bhudevi on his tusks. And Hiranyaksha, the fearful demon, he was challenging Lord Varahadev. Bhudevi was feeling frightened and scared. Therefore, because Bhudevi was scared, Varahadev first put her on the surface, first rescued her. And then he began his fight with Hiranyaksha. As Varahadev confronted Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha criticized Gochara Mriga. He criticized Varahadev as a beast, Mriga, as an animal. As an amphibious beast, oh you amphibious beast, you are so pathetic. You don't even have the courage to face a challenger like me. You are turning your back to me and swimming away with Bhudevi to the surface. Nowadays, these spineless fighters are just so shameless. So shameless. You are so shameless. Hiranyaksha calls out to Varahadev. At this point, Maitreya Muni points out that Varahadev, when he heard his blasphemy, he felt very pained. He felt very hurt. Point for us to understand, my dear friends, is when Krishna is criticized, it is not that Krishna, oh, he's all powerful, he's all glorious, so he doesn't feel sad, he doesn't feel hurt. The proof is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyaksha called Varahadev a beast, amphibious beast, Varahadev felt very much hurt. This proves that the absolute truth, Bhagavan, is sentient. He has feelings, he has sentiments, he has emotions. He is a person. He is not impersonal. And Varahadev said, I will certainly satisfy you in the fight because you are so keen to fight with me. Saying this, they both came out of the water and they started fighting. Varahadev was holding a mace, a gada, so was Hiranyaksha. Both of them were huge. Both of them were holding gada in their hand, mace. And both of them were very, very powerful. Varahadev had the form of Adisukar. He had the form that looked like a hog, but at the same time he was very beautiful. All his limbs, his body, they were so beautifully formed. He had a beautiful tilak on his forehead. He had beautiful lotus-like eyes. He was very, very beautiful. All the Vedas, all the Vedic hymns were emanating from his body. And all the devtas were offering him prayers with great love. And Varahadev was holding mace, gada. And Hiranyaksha attacked Varahadev. And he tried to hit Varahadev on his head. He tried to smash Varahadev with his gada. But Varahadev, with great speed and dexterity, he moved aside. And the blow that Hiranyaksha gave to Varahadev proved to be futile. Hiranyaksha became enraged that Varahadev escaped his attack. Just then, Varahadev took his own mace and tried to hit Hiranyaksha on his bro. But Hiranyaksha was Kovida. He was very expert, Bhagavatam describes. And he put his own gada and blocked the gada, successfully blocked the gada of Varahadev. And then all the devatas, they got scared that this Hiranyaksha is so powerful. And then both of them started repeatedly hitting each other with their mace. And it is described, both of them were getting hurt, both of them were bleeding. And I was just thinking how pained Varahadev was feeling that this Hiranyaksha is my own servant. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are my servants, Jay and Vijay. But just see now they are fighting with me. They are calling me ill names, amphibious beast, coward, shameless. And Varahadev was feeling pained in his heart. And then they were both fighting and the fighting went on. The gada fight went on for a long time. And the auspicious Abhijit Muhurat in the evening, where all victory is possible, was passing away. And then Varahadev said, I will finish you now. And with great force, he tried to hit Hiranyaksha. But Hiranyaksha with his own gada, he hit the gada of Varahadev so hard that Varahadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagwan, the source of all strength, his own gada slipped out of his hands
and fell down and sank to the bottom of the ocean. Hare Krishna. All the devatas were, alas, alas, hi, hi, what just happened? Varahadev has been deprived of his gada, now he's unarmed. Now Hiranyaksha has an upper hand, he's armed with his gada. Hiranyaksha laughed. He said, ha, I respect the rules of one-on-one combat. This Vishnu, by my power, has lost his gada. So I will wait for him to get a new weapon. I will not attack him. Varahadev appreciated Hiranyaksha's determination to honor the rules, the codes of warfare. He honored him for that. He appreciated him for that. But at the same time, he became very angry, transcendentally angry at having been deprived of his gada by Hiranyaksha. So he immediately invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. Hiranyaksha came and he tried to hurl his gada towards the head, the lotus head of Varahadev, to smash him. As the gada was flying, the Sudarshan Chakra was released by Varahadev and it cut Hiranyaksha's gada into fine powder. It was completely destroyed. Hiranyaksha became very angry. He immediately manifested a trishul, a trident in his hand. And with great force, he hurled his trident at Varahadev. Varahadev again released the Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra destroyed the trishul, the trident of Hiranyaksha. It was cut into fine powder and it fell into the ocean. Completely destroyed. Then Hiranyaksha got really angry. He said, if you have the courage, then fight me hand to hand. Don't use your Sudarshan Chakra. And Hiranyaksha came, suddenly charging at Varahadev and punched him in the chest. That Vakshasthal, that chest, which is the abode of the Srivatsa, where Lakshmiji resides. Hiranyaksha punched and then immediately disappeared, became invisible using his Rakshas mystic powers. The night was fast approaching. The auspicious Abhijit Muhurta in the evening was coming to an end very soon. And Hiranyaksha's powers were increasing. Using his mystic powers, Hiranyaksha created darkness everywhere. There was thunder and lightning. And from the clouds, blood, pus, urine, stool, bones started raining upon Varahadev. Just imagine, what an aparad. That Sri Anga, that transcendental body of the Lord, which we decorate with fine garments, with intricate embroidery, that beautiful transcendental body of the Lord, on which we apply perfumed oil, we apply sandalwood paste, we apply gopi chandan, gopi dots, nice turban, we make sure his hair is nice, black, shiny. He put a peacock feather in his head, flower garland, tulsi leaves at his lotus feet, sometimes tulsi garland around his neck. That beautiful body, Hiranyaksha was attacking with blood, pus, stool and urine. Lesson for us is, as sadhakas, we must perform Shri Vigraha Seva, deity worship, with punctuality, with discipline, with cleanliness and with love. We have to be clean. We have to take care of our body. I remember several years ago, I had become very careless about applying moisturizing cream. I used to apply coconut oil on my hands, face, arms to keep the skin well moisturized. And then suddenly, I don't know what happened, I became negligent. I would just get ready and go without spending any time on taking care of my skin. And then one day I was massaging my Shaligram Shilas and I noticed white flakes on my beautiful dark Shamsundar Shilas. The Shilas are black, most of them. And the yellowish brown colored flakes were very much visible on the Shila. And I was wondering, what is this? What is this powder? What are these flakes?
And then I realized my hands had become so dry, my fingers had become so dry that skin was peeling out. Flakes of skin were peeling out from my fingers and it was coming and getting deposited on my Shaligram Shilas. I felt so guilty, so bad. I cleaned it with a soft pluck and I decided I will take care of my body. Because if the body, which is a gift from Krishna, is not taken care of, then how can we serve Krishna with this body nicely? So then I started taking care of my body. So we have to take care of our body so that it can be used as a good instrument in the service of the Lord. But the asura, the demoniac mentality is to try to desecrate the source of all purity. Pavitra. Krishna is Pavitra. To try to desecrate Krishna. It is such a demoniac tendency. But again, Varahadev released Sudarshan Chakra. And by the influence of Sudarshan Chakra, all this Kudarshan, this bad, ugly manifestation of darkness, blood, urine, stool, disappeared. All this illusion was dissipated by the power and the splendor of Sudarshan Chakra. And Hiranyaksha again became visible to everyone. When all this was going on, when Sudarshan was dissipating all this illusory nonsense that Hiranyaksha was creating by his mystic powers, Brahmaji came to Varahadev. He offered his obeisance and prayed to Varahadev. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Adi Shukar, O original boar incarnation, O Varahadev, please don't play games with Hiranyaksha. He is very powerful. He gives us great anxiety. Also, the auspicious Abhijit Muhurta is about to get over. Please quickly kill and destroy him. Don't play with him. He will become very powerful very soon. Varahadev laughed heartily when he heard this anxiety of his devotee, Brahmaji. And he told Brahmaji, you are my servant. You don't worry. I will destroy this demon within no time. And then again Hiranyaksha came and started attacking Varahadev, trying to punch him, kick him, beat him. And then Hiranyaksha thought, as a last resort, my gada is gone, my trishul, trident is gone, all my mystic powers of thunder and lightning and pus and bones being hurled at Varahadev. He has survived everything. As a last resort, even my punches and blows have proved futile. As a last resort, let me embrace him very tightly and with my powerful arms, crush him into powder. I will just crush and kill him. And then with his both powerful arms, Hiranyaksha tried to grab Varahadev. And although Varahadev was just standing there smiling, it is described in Bhagavatam, as much as Hiranyaksha tried, he could not grab Varahadev. He wanted to grab Varahadev with his two hands and crush him with a tight embrace. So similarly, just like after the Kurukshetra war, Dhritarashtra tried to kill Bhim, take revenge by killing Bhim. Dhritarashtra tried, but Krishna knew his mentality. So he saved Bhim. He made a metal statue of Bhim and put it in front of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was so powerful, he crushed it into powder. Very, very powerful. He was blind, but very powerful. So the act is of embracing. But see, the action is not so important. But the intention and the devotion is more important than the action. Dhritarashtra tried to embrace the devotee Bhim. Here, Hiranyaksha is trying to embrace Varahadev, but their intention is murder. This is not the way to embrace the Lord. And Hiranyaksha was unable to embrace Varahadev because Varahadev is teaching, by your own strength you cannot capture me. Even Kalyavan, as he was chasing after Krishna, Krishna was just walking and Kalyavan was running after him. But still he could not catch up. Because that is not the way to capture Krishna. We cannot capture Krishna by our own strength, by our own endeavor.
only when Krishna is pleased with our devotion does he bless us, and then we are able to capture him in our hearts with devotion, and that praman is Yashodamai. Yashodamai captured Krishna with her love and devotion. So Hiranyaksha could not embrace Varahadev, and as he was trying to punch and beat Varahadev, you know, very indifferent, in a very casual way, Varahadev just slapped him under his ear. Karana Mool, at the root of his ear, he just slapped him, and just lightly he slapped him, and what happened? His eyes fell out of the sockets. His hands, both his hands, both his legs, all the bones were broken. His entire body became mangled, and he fell down dead. So this indicates that Varahadev is not an ordinary hog. He is not an ordinary animal. He is not just an amphibious beast, as Hiranyaksha is thinking. If that was so, tell me how anatomically and physiologically it is possible, you are lightly slapped under the ear and your hands and legs, all the bones are broken and mangled. Impossible. Biomechanically it is impossible. But Krishna is beyond biomechanics. Krishna is beyond physics. Krishna is beyond anatomy and physiology. Krishna is beyond the laws of material nature. This proves that Varahadev was not an ordinary boar. His supreme personality of God, he was just playing, enjoying Viryaras with his own devotee. He was doing Leela. And when he was satisfied with a good fight, he ended the scene. Curtains down. Just one slap. And Hiranyaksha was finished. This is what we can learn, that when we have this envious tendency towards God, or envious towards devotees, or we become demoniac, we also sometimes feel, I have things under control, I am powerful, I can do it. Hiranyakashipu actually thought he could kill Narasimha Bhagwan. The devatas were scared to even come in the presence of Narasimha Dev, but Hiranyakashipu was so mad, he was so much under illusion that he actually thought, I can kill him. And Hiranyaksha also thought he can kill Vishnu. This is called illusion. This is called madness. Moha. So, this is our story. Sometimes we become proud. We think, I am chanting 16 rounds. I am fine. Devotees are still respecting me. I am still giving classes. I can get away with these offenses. I can get away with this sin. It just takes one slap from Krishna to finish everything. Our beautiful house of cards comes crumbling down. Just one slap is required. So this is what we can learn. And as soon as Hiranyaksha died, his body was still very lustrous. It didn't become pale. It was still lustrous because it was touched by Krishna, touched by Varahadev. And Brahmaji glorified, what a wonderful death Hiranyaksha has got. He died at your lotus hands, in your presence. How wonderful. How wonderful. He will definitely be liberated. So this is how Varahadev rescued Mother Earth as Rakta Varaha. Varahadev, it is described, came twice. Once he came in the first Manvantar, Swayambhu Manu's Manvantar, and he rescued Mother Earth also at that time. And second time he came in the sixth Manvantar. And he killed Hiranyaksha. That time he came not as Shweta Varaha, not in the fair form complexion, but he came in a reddish complexion called Rakta Varaha, like that is described. So this is our Varahadev. How he saved the devotee and he gave liberation to his own servant who had fallen down because of Vaishnava. It is described why Jay and Vijay fell. Once Lakshmi Devi had gone for some service, and when she came back, Lord Vishnu was taking rest. So Jay and Vijay stopped Lakshmi Devi from entering Vaikuntha. They said, Lakshmi Devi, you cannot enter because Lord Vishnu is taking rest. You wait. So Lakshmi Devi understood that these doorkeepers have become very egoistic. They have become very proud of their service. They think they can stop anybody. And that time Lakshmi Devi predicted that very soon Jay and Vijay are going to fall down. And so it happened.
was just a matter of time. Then we offend great devotees. Lakshmi Devi, she is the Acharya of a Sampradaya, Shri Sampradaya. She is the predominating Bhakta of Vaikuntha planets. She is the topmost devotee in Vaikuntha. How can you stop Lakshmi Devi? This is what happens, my dear friends. Sometimes we are given some service and we get so carried away by the service. In the name of service, we offend senior devotees. We may be given the service of managing the line for the Abhishek on Janmashtami. And we are telling devotees, hey, stand in line, let me check your band. Have you paid for the Abhishek? Come on, stand in a straight line. Hey, don't jump the line. Mataji is this side, Prabhuji is this side. We have been given this service. And some senior Vaishnava comes. And now because we are empowered by the service, we think we have got a right to chastise them. And sometimes we speak to them rudely. We speak to them disrespectfully in the name of service. And then we just, oh, what to do? I am just doing my service. I am just doing service. I am Prabhupada's servant. I am this, I am that. I am servant, dasosni. But the behavior is not like servant. There are tinges of envy. There are tinges of arrogance because of the service. Then even though we may be residents of Vaikuntha, like Jay and Vijay, we fall down. And we become so abominable that we start criticizing our Lord. We try to steal His Shakti. Bhudevi is non-different from Lakshmi Devi. And Hiranyaksha had stolen her and hidden her at the bottom of the ocean, where he was playing, splashing water. This can be our story. If we offend devotees, we will offend the spiritual master, who is the representative of Lakshmi Devi, representative of Radharani. It is just a matter of time. I have personally experienced this. If we criticize devotees, we start seeing faults in our own Guru Maharaj. I am telling you from the bottom of my heart with personal experience. If we offend devotees, it is just a matter of time. We will start seeing problems, defects in other devotees, including our spiritual master. The heart becomes poisoned. But if we take a humble position and we love the devotees, we are sweet with the devotee, even while we're doing service, even while doing difficult service. Please, Prabhuji, sorry, I have no one to tell you, but Prabhuji, please, I have to tell you, please, Janmashtami, there's a lot of crowd. Can you please stand in this line? Please, Prabhu, I promise you your number will come. Please, bear with me, Prabhu, sorry. Otherwise, there will be a lot of chaos. Forgive me, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. We can talk like that. Instead of getting carried away in the name of service. So we have to be very careful. We have to constantly check our intentions. We have to be very careful. If we are humble, if we are respectful to all the devotees, then there is no resistance to the inflow of mercy. There is no resistance. We become very, very receptive to the inflow of mercy. So these are the lessons we can learn from the pastime of Varahadev. Now, very quickly, my dear friends, I want to share in 5 minutes, we have 5 more minutes, I want to share a very beautiful pastime that we read about in today's Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami just writes one verse about this pastime of Varahadev and Murari Gupta. But in Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur, this is described in quite detail. It's almost half a chapter. It is Madhya Khanda, chapter number 3. It is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enjoying Nam Sankirtan with his devotees in Navadvip. This is when he was Nimai Pandit. He was Navadvip Chandra Mahaprabhu, Gaura Hari. He would do Nam Sankirtan all day, all night with his devotees, discuss Krishna Katha. And he would exhibit different emotions while reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes he would enter the mood of a devotee like Akrur and he would fall down on the ground in Srivasangan and start offering obeisances to the footprints of Krishna like Akrur did. And he would start praying to Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, please come with Krishna and Balram, come with me to Mathura for the Dhanur Yajna of Kamsa Maharaj, please come in the mood of Akrur. And he would offer beautiful prayers like Akrur did, Vandanam.
శ్రవణ కీర్తనం స్మరణ వందనం పాద సేవనం దాస్యరే పూజన సఖి జన ఆత్మ నివేదన గోవింద దాస అభిలాషరే.
నవవిధ భక్తి వన్ ఆఫ్ ద నైన్ ప్రొసెసెస్ యాజ్ మెన్షన్డ్ బై ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ ఇన్ ద సెవెంత్ క్యాంట్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. వన్ ఆఫ్ దిమ్ వందనం, ఆఫరింగ్ ప్రేయర్స్. వెన్ హిరణ్యాక్ష వాస్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ అండ్ బ్లాస్ఫేమింగ్ వరాహదేవ్, వరాహదేవ్ వాస్ ఫీలింగ్ పెయిన్డ్. బట్ వెన్ డివోటీస్ డూ వందనం, ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ వెరీ ప్లీజింగ్, వెరీ వెరీ ప్లీజింగ్. అక్రూర్స్ ప్రేయర్స్, కుంతి మహారాణిస్ ప్రేయర్స్, భీష్మదేవ్స్ ప్రేయర్స్, దే ఆర్ సో డియర్ టు కృష్ణ, సో ప్లీజింగ్ టు కృష్ణ. దిస్ ఇస్ అనుకూల్యన కృష్ణ అనుశీలనం భక్తి ఉచ్యతే. భక్తి ఉత్తమ, ఉత్తమ భక్తి ఇస్ కృష్ణ అనుకూల్. It is pleasing to Krishna. Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. So they were discussing different verses, different episodes from Srimad Bhagavatam, and suddenly somebody recited a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying Varahadev. As this verse was chanted, I will chant this verse. This is Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 19, Verse Number 30. Deva Uchuhu Namo Namaste Khila Yajna Tantave Vidau Grihita Malasatva Murtaye Dishtyahatoyam Jagatam Arunduta వత్పాద భక్త్యా వయం ఈశ నిర్వృతః. ద డెమిగాగ్ అడ్రెస్ లార్డ్ వరాహదేవ్, ఆల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు యూ వరాహదేవ్, యు ఆర్ ద ఎంజాయర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్. అండ్ ఇన్ చైతన్య భాగవత్ ఆల్సో వరాహదేవ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ యజ్ఞ వరాహ, వరాహదేవ్ హూ ఇస్ ద ఎంజాయర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ యజ్ఞస్, ఆల్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్. యూ హ్యావ్ అస్యూమ్డ్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అ బోర్ in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon who was a torment to the world has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet, the devata said. And then last verse we'll see is what Maitreya Muni summarizes, what Maitreya Muni says. Maitreya uvacha evam hiranya chamasaya vikramam తసాది తత్వా హరిరాది శుకరః జగామలోకం స్వం అఖండితోత్సవం సమీడిత పుష్కర విస్తరాదిభిః. మైత్రే అశ్రీ మైత్రే కంటిన్యూడ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దస్ కిల్లింగ్ ద మోస్ట్ ఫార్మిడబుల్ డిమన్ హిరణ్యాక్ష, ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ హరి, ద ఒరిజిన్ ఆఫ్ ద బోర్ స్పీషీస్, రిటర్న్ టు హిస్ ఓన్ అబోర్డ్ వేర్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ అన్ అన్ఇంటరప్టెడ్ festival. The word is Akhanditotsava. Akhanda Utsav is going on in Vaikuntha, my dear friends. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma. This is from Bhagavatam. This verse was Bhagavatam 3.19.31. So these verses were being recited by devotees in Navadvip. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this glorification of Adi Sukar, he went into ecstasy. He went into ecstasy and he ran to the house of Murari Gupta. He ran to the house of Murari Gupta and he started shouting loudly, I am he, Shukar, Shukar, I am the boar, I am the boar. And he started running circles around Murari Gupta. Now here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says that Mahaprabhu jumped on his shoulders and they ran in circles and they were dancing. Beautiful. And then, in Chaitanya Bhagavata, it is described that Mahaprabhu, he came down and he started running round and round around Murari Gupta in the courtyard, shouting, I am he, I am he, I am Shukar, I am Shukar, I am the boar incarnation. Keshava Dhrita Shukara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. And then he went into the deity room of Murari Gupta in his house. And there, next to the altar, was a pot of water, a beautiful pot of water. And at that time, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that our Gaura Hari, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he assumed the form of Varahadev, actual form of Varahadev. Until now, he was just shouting
Varaha, Varaha, Shukar, Shukar. But now he actually took the form of Varahadev. And between his tusks, he effortlessly lifted that water pot from the altar of Murari Gupta and he came out. And he started running around Murari Gupta in the form of Varahadev. And he told Murari Gupta, come on, Murari, offer me prayers, speak prayers. So when Murari Gupta heard that you offer me prayers, I'll read the exact verse. Mahaprabhu is saying, Garja Yajna Varaha Prakashe Khurachari Prabhu Bole Morastuti Karaha Murari. Oh Murari! Morastuti Karaha. Start glorifying me. And see, here also Varaha is addressed as Garje Yajna Varaha. Yajna Varaha. Varaha, who is the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. Aham Isava Yajnanam Bhokta Cha Prabhurevacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is shouting. And there Mahaprabhu says, oh Murari, you are as dear to me as Hanuman was dear to Ramchandra. Come on, glorify me. I am Varaha. I am your Lord. But Murari Gupta, seeing this incredible darshan, he was dumbfounded. He could not speak anything. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged him. Come on, Murari. I am standing before you with all my majesty. Come on, offer prayers. Murari Gupta folded his hands and in great ecstasy while trembling, he said, how can I glorify you, my Lord? How can I glorify you? Who am I to glorify you? Only you know your own glory. Only you know your own glories. Ananta Dev is your incarnation. He has got 1,000 hoods. On each fana, on each hood, Ananta Dev holds millions of Brahmandas. We are in one little village of one planet of this huge Brahmanda where there are so many planets. And unlimited such Brahmandas rest on one hood, one of the 1,000 hoods of Lord Anantadev, who is one of your expansions. And with his 1,000 mouths, lotus mouths, Anantadev is eternally narrating your glories. And still, Anantadev cannot find the conclusion, the end of your glories. You are performing so many glories in all the Brahmandas, some Leela is going on. How much can Anantadev describe? Your glories are so deep. Your pastimes are so deep and so vast. It's impossible. Your glories are unlimited, just like you. So if Anantadev, who is the highest authority narrating your pastimes, if he cannot glorify you adequately, who am I to glorify you? And Anantadev cannot glorify you. Certainly the Vedas also cannot glorify you adequately because there is a limitation of language. You are beyond languages. Even the Vedas cannot adequately glorify you. The Vedas also fail to glorify you adequately. The Vedas also are insufficient to glorify you adequately. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very pleased with these prayers of Murari Gupta. And then Murari Gupta concluded, therefore, my dear Lord, we can glorify you only to the extent that you reveal yourself to us and you empower us. This is a fact, my dear friends. We can understand Krishna to the extent Krishna agrees to reveal to us. Sometimes devotees ask very complex questions. Like, is there pizza in Goloka Vrindavan? Is there pizza in Goloka Vrindavan? Is there ice cream in the spiritual world? You see? So such questions are not necessary to be asked. Slowly everything will be revealed to us. We cannot understand everything. Sometimes we ask questions after the class thinking, all my questions should be answered. Every doubt, every thought that comes into my contaminated mind should be answered by this Bhagavatkar, this Kathakar, this devotee. How is it possible? How can a kindergarten student understand calculus? What is going on in the spiritual world? What is happening? How one devotee can come in 2-3 forms in Gaur Leela? All these things, we have to wait
everything cannot be understood by us right now because we are not sufficiently qualified. But if we just follow on the path, we are patient, we continue with our bhakti, sadhana bhakti, raganuga bhakti, slowly, slowly things will be revealed to us. It is a descending process, my dear friends, not an ascending process. We should ask questions for clarification, yes. But we should not expect that every whim, every doubt, every thought that comes can be answered. Such questions should not be asked. We should wait. Let it be revealed. What is eaten in the spiritual world by Krishna? Let it be revealed. Some of it is there in the Bhagavatam. Details, we should have the patience. Let it be revealed. Let it descend down. When Krishna tava punne have bhai. When Krishna is pleased with me. So Murari Gupta spoke like this. When Murari Gupta spoke like this, Mahaprabhu in the form of Varahadeva was very happy with him. And he congratulated him for his wonderful prayers. And then hearing the fact that Vedas also cannot glorify you adequately, Mahaprabhu took off. He said, yes, Vedas cannot glorify me adequately. And you know what? Vedas have the audacity to say that I don't have hands, I don't have legs, I don't have eyes, I don't have a body, my body is illusion. How can the Vedas suggest something like this? And Mahaprabhu became krodhit, became angry at the Vedas. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his commentary to Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions that Krishna, Varahadeva, Mahaprabhu can never become angry with Vedas. After all, Vedas are also gopis in Vrindavan. There are the Shrutichari gopis. The Vedas personified, they came in Krishna Lila as gopis, one of the categories of gopis, Shrutichari gopis. So how can Krishna be angry? Krishna cannot be angry with them. But Krishna is angry with the Mayavad interpretation of the Vedas, of the Upanishads. He is angry with that. So Mahaprabhu said, and then he says, there is a sannyasi, very naughty sannyasi living in Kashi. His name is Prakashananda. And he is giving all this nonsense interpretation of the Vedas, saying that God is impersonal, the form of Krishna is unreal, it is Maya. And he is mutilating my body by saying like this. It gives me great pain. He's such a fool, such a foolish person, Mahaprabhu says. And then, after saying that, Mahaprabhu says that I have come in Kali Yuga to inaugurate Nam Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan Arambhi. I have come here to inaugurate Sankirtan movement to save all the devotees and to destroy the atheistic misconceptions that people have. That's why I have come. And I will give all of you protection. You don't fear, Murari Gupta. You don't fear. None of you should fear. I will protect you. I love my devotees. I love my sevaks. I love them so much that to save my devotees, I can do anything. I can do anything to save my devotees. I can even kill my own son. Oh, Murari, I am telling you the truth. Please have faith in my words. Please have faith in my words. When, in the form of Varahadev, I saved Bhudevi, I uplifted the earth planet by my touch, she became impregnated. And she gave birth to a son. His name was Naraka. And I personally educated Naraka. I personally trained Naraka. And he became a great king, ruling over Bharatvarsha. He was giving all protection and support to the devotees, the Brahmins, and the Devatas. Very, very powerful person. But my dear Murari, he chose bad association. Due to bad association, he became contaminated. He associated with the evil-minded Banasur. And in the company of Banasur, my son Naraka became Narakasur. Became very, very sinful. Started offending devotees. He started offending the Brahmins. He started attacking the devotees. He became a nuisance. Then finally, I in the form of Krishna came and killed him. I killed him. To prove to the world that to save my devotees, I am willing to go to any extent, even to the extent of killing my own son. This I am revealing to you, O Murari Gupta, because you are my servant birth after birth. That's why I am revealing this to you. It's a very beautiful verse where Mahaprabhu says this. He says, Janame janame tumi seviyache more ete ka sakala tatva kahila tomare. सुनिया मुरारी गुप्ता प्रभु रा वचन विवल है या गुप्ता करे न क्रंदन. And when Murari Gupta heard these emotional revelations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that to save my devotee, I will go to any extent. I will even kill my own son if he offends my devotees. Then Murari Gupta heard this. He started crying in ecstasy. He was speechless. And then Mahaprabhu said, you don't worry. None of your devotees should worry. Boldly go and preach Nam Sankirtan. And we'll all live happily. I will give you all protection. When the devotees saw this beautiful form of Varahadev, that form of Varahadev which appears in the period of Srimad Bhagavatam exclusively to kill the demons and protect the devotees became very bold. They became very inspired, very encouraged. And they started doing Nam Sankirtan everywhere, all over Navadvip. They became very happy. And everybody became very happy after the manifestation of Varahadev. Only Mahaprabhu was very sad. Mahaprabhu was very sad. Everyone was very happy. Murari Gupta was blissful. All the devotees became blissful. Srivast Thakur, Advaita Acharya, everyone. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very sad. And Chaitanya Bhagavat describes why he was sad. He was sad because everyone was there in Navadvip at this point, except Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu had not come yet to Navadvip. So Mahaprabhu was very sad. And the devotees asked him, Mahaprabhu, why are you so sad? He said, I am very happy that all of you are there with me, but I am very sad because my brother Nityananda Prabhu is not with me. And then devotees asked, who is Nityananda? Who is Nityananda? And then Mahaprabhu started describing the beautiful story of Nityananda Prabhu all the way. And he was a beautiful son of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati Devi, born in Ekachakra. How he grew up, how he took sannyas, how he left home with the sannyasi, everything he describes. And then he says, now this Mahaprabhu, he was living in Vrindavan waiting for me to incarnate. He's older than me. He's been waiting in Vrindavan for me to incarnate and inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. And now when he has heard that the Sankirtan movement has started in Navadvip, he has left Vrindavan and he has come to Navadvip. And I want you all to go and find him for me. Only when I meet my Nityananda Ram, only when I embrace him, I feel happy. Saying this, Mahaprabhu dispatches all his servants in all the directions to go and find out where Nityananda Prabhu was hiding in Navadvip Dham. And that story will be revealed tomorrow. Because tomorrow Nityananda Prabhu appears. It is Nityananda Trayodashi. So therefore, Varaha Dvadashi comes before Nityananda Trayodashi, because the pastime of Varahadev is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then it ends very beautifully. All the devotees are engladdened and happy and they feel protected. And then Mahaprabhu feels sad. And why? Because Nityananda Prabhu is not there. And then the search begins for Nityananda Prabhu. And the end of this chapter, Nityananda Prabhu is discovered by Mahaprabhu himself in the house of Nandanacharya. And then their union, their meeting is described very beautifully. So therefore, Nityananda Trayodashi comes after Varaha Dvadashi. So I described Varahadeva's pastime today. And tomorrow, you will hear about the appearance of Nityananda Prabhu from some exalted speakers. So this is what I wanted to share with all of you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaye, Chaitanya Charitamrita Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jaye, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupad ki jaye, Varahadev ki jaye, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jaye. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jaye Srila Prabhupad.
Jai. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much. This was an ecstatic session. Very, very beautiful, the way you described the pastimes and how you said Lord Varaha's story from the Bhagavatam. Literally, you covered each and every verse and the lessons that we learned from each one of them. That was also so beautiful. I really like two things as you were talking. Very, very lovely. The way Sudarshan, when Sudarshan appears, all these nasty things, they disappear. Sudarshan and all these nasty things, it just went away. It was so beautifully said. As it was blending along with the pastime, you added these things. There was all of them, everything was so beautiful. And even the point that just one slap Krishna needs to give and everything is gone. So, very true. And so on so many layers, like even the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat story, how nicely first Varahadev was described and then Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu searching for Nityananda Prabhu, how the chapter ends, like first there is Varaha Dvadasi and then there is Nityananda Trayodashi. Such a lovely class, Prabhu, as always. Very nice, very, very nice. Thank you very much for your association. You always fill our hearts with a lot of happiness as you recite Harikatha. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Priti Vila Srinivasaji, for your kind words. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I'm sorry, somebody else speaking?
Go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, Mataji. I just have a little comment to make that as you were narrating all the stories, and this whole week of all the stories that we've been getting, Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, and then the Baraha Avataram, I was just thinking, I feel like a little kid at the feet of my, you know, grandparents listening to all these stories. And I'm just thinking about Srila Prabhupada and feeling so grateful that how, you know, as you, when you're feeding a child, you feed them little bit by little bit, you know, you tell them stories and you teach them lessons as you're telling them stories. And I was just thinking, you know, how wonderful Srila Prabhupada is, how wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam is. You know, understanding our mentality in this age of Kali, how our mind is so fickle. They've entranced us with these beautiful stories of Mahabhagavatas and beautiful incarnations of the Lord, and, you know, ultimately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I was just feeling so appreciative, thankful, grateful, excited, you know, because it's like the book never ends, the story never ends, it keeps going on. And even if you hear the story, you want to hear it again. What other story is like that? No other story is like that. No other past lives. Of course, how can it be not be? Because it's about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I'm just so grateful, and thank you so much for transporting us into the Leelas of the Lord. Thank you so much, Prabhu. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Praneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. Thank you for your beautiful comment and sharing your love for Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures. Thank you so much. Very inspiring. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Radhika from Folsom, California, Prabhu. Dandavat pranams. Such a beautiful class, Prabhu. Today I am so fortunate that I was able to listen to your class online as opposed to always listening it to offline. And really grateful, Prabhu. So many points that you have mentioned really touched our hearts. Why Krishna was criticized because he ran away from Jarasandh to save Rukmini. You know, you rightly pointed out that he could have taken a plenary potion and expanded himself, but he didn't do it. So such a compassionate nature of the Lord is revealed there. Definitely something hidden, Prabhu, and thank you for that hidden message. I understood that very clearly. You also talked about the mood of the devotees and how intention matters much more than much more than their action. And again, I had one question, Prabhu. So with Jay and Vijay, obviously they must have had good intention when they actually stopped the four Kumaras or beat Lakshmi Devi. And so God, again, he would have known the intention of them. When he stopped them to enter the Vaikuntha. And in that case, so is that the reason why God liberated them after the 7 years of separation? I'm just trying to understand the detail there also, Prabhu. I definitely understand the point that Lord protects the devotees and he wants to give them the preference. And that is the reason why Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were asked to come down to the earth. But I also want to know what their intention was truly when they happened to do such an act.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Kasturi Radhika Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for your very nice comment. Regarding your question, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly that Jay and Vijay were pure devotees and their fall down was orchestrated by Krishna himself. In Narahari Chakravarti writes this. This is one of my very favorite quotes. Narahari Chakravarti writes this. He says that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu
priya bhakta dware anyera shiksha karahe yahi prakare. That Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu through his priya bhakta dware, through his dear devotees, anyera shiksha karahe. He uses them to teach others. So Jaya and Vijaya were pure devotees. My understanding based on Bhagavatam is that when they stopped Lakshmi Devi from entering Vaikuntha, when Lakshmi Devi had gone, it's there in the third canto, it's mentioned, Jaya and Vijaya stopped Lakshmi Devi. And that is when Lakshmi Devi predicted that they are going to fall down because they have become proud. So my understanding from what I have read and heard from our superiors, Gurugan, is that Jaya and Vijaya stopped Lakshmi Devi, committed that offense. They stopped Chatushkumar, committed that offense. This is simply a leela of Krishna. Somehow Krishna orchestrated this so that there could be Hiranyakashipu, there could be Hiranyaksha, there could be Ravan, Kumbhakaran, there could be Shishupal, Dantavakra, Krishna avatar, Ram avatar, Narsimha avatar, Varaha avatar. Otherwise, all these avatars would have not gone. You would not never have received Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam would not have been there. Ramayana would not have been there. Narsimha Puran would not have been there. Varaha Puran would not have been there. So all these scriptures would not have been there. But Krishna enacted this pastime. So we have to understand that he, although Jaya and Vijaya are pure devotees, Krishna somehow prompted them to act in the way that they did so that this whole leela could be orchestrated. And even from Jaya and Vijaya's fall down, we learn so many lessons that we should never offend devotees. We should be humble. We should be careful how we act. So I would go to say, this is just from what I've understood, I would say that Krishna inspired or Krishna caused Vijaya to obstruct the path of Lakshmi Devi. Krishna inspired Jaya and Vijaya or caused Jaya and Vijaya to obstruct the path of the four Kumaras. As much as Krishna inspired Parikshit Maharaj and caused him to put a dead snake around the neck of Shamikrishi. Hare Krishna.
Makes perfect sense, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for narrating such a beautiful story of Lord Varahadev, especially on his appearance day today of being Karaha Dwadashi. So, I was just, I don't have any question as such, but was just reflecting on the point that you shared. So just, I also want to share something. That how, when a pride enters in the devotee's heart, like how Hiranyaksha, he got pride and he, challenged Varundev, and he also challenged then Varahadev. And then at that time, Varahadev was simply playing around with Hiranyaksha. So I was thinking that similarly, we devotees, when we get a pride, sometimes it does happen that we don't get our instant karma, we don't get it. And still, we can prosper more or we can, flourish more. But all these things we should always remember that, as you said, that if not now, then later, definitely we'll get a consequence of it. So all these flourishments, and so that Krishna takes us to the very high level and then he drops there so that we get more hurt. So, I was simply reflecting on this point when you were sharing this. But thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class always. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Kirtila Sundari Mataji, na? Thank you, Mataji.
Yes,
all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for your wonderful reflection. Hare Krishna.
Hi Krishna Prabhu. Oh, is there somebody else?
No, Mataji, go ahead.
Prabhu. Well, I hope you don't have to go to work today because I have like a million questions, but let me start somewhere. Well, for one thing, I've been wanting an in-depth discussion of Rev. Rahadev, and you totally fulfilled that, so thank you so much. There are a few things that I needed help with. Like when you said that, you know, when Hiranyaksha was hurling those insults at Rahadev, they hurt Rahadev. But, you know, I'm sure that his hurt was not the same as ours. Because when we get insulted, it's because our false ego has been bruised, you know. But, you know, Rahadev doesn't have false ego. So can you elaborate on his hurt upon hearing those insults?
Hare Krishna. So there are two layers that I can try to explain of this pastime of Varahadev feeling hurt. One layer is he's feeling hurt to show us that God is not impersonal. God has feelings. God feels happy when we serve Him. God feels happy when we cooperate, when we work together nicely. And God feels hurt when we criticize Him, when we criticize each other, when there is disharmony, discord. So that is one thing, one lesson that Krishna is teaching. By feeling hurt, He's showing us that He is not impersonal. He is a supreme sentient being. He has feelings and emotions. And second, Varahadev is feeling bad for us, that this Jiva is supposed to glorify me. Jivera Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. And especially this Hiranyaksha, he is my Nija Bhakta. He is my Nija Bhritya. He is my personal servant. And look how low he has fallen now. He is blaspheming me. He is blaspheming me. Such is the power of Vaishnava Aparadha. He offended devotees at the gate of Vaikuntha, and see how he has fallen down. What low level he has fallen down. So Krishna is feeling bad hearing those words, thinking how low his own servant has fallen because of Vaishnava Aparadha. And secondly, so this is the second. First is to teach us that I feel bad when you hurl insults at me, which means if we want to make Krishna happy, then we should say nice prayers. Because say offering nice prayers to Krishna is good for us. It's good for us. So like that, Krishna is trying to teach us that he is not impersonal. And secondly, he feels bad for us when we criticize him, how low we have fallen. Is that okay, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Yes, that's perfect. But just to follow up on that, though, you know, you're saying that as Vaishnavas we should be offering Krishna, you know, nice prayers, glorifying him. And again, I have a question concerning false ego. You know, unlike here where we want to hear those things to, you know, inflate our ego, that's not the case with Rahadev or any of Krishna's forms. So what is Krishna's reason for wanting to hear his glorification from us?
Krishna is Param Satya. He is the supreme absolute truth. Satyam Param Dhimahi. In the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we meditate upon the supreme absolute truth. The exact Sanskrit for the supreme absolute truth is Satyam Param. And to meditate means Dhimahi. So Satyam Param Dhimahi, the first verse, it ends like this. So Satyam Param, Krishna is Satyam Param. He is the supreme absolute truth. And Krishna's glorification is the truth. Because when we say Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead, it is the truth. Krishna is the maintainer of all the universes. That is the truth. Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the well-wishing friend of everyone. That is the truth. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. That is the truth. Krishna likes to give benedictions. He is Varadraj. That is the truth. So when we are glorifying Krishna, we are speaking the absolute truth. And Krishna being the absolute truth, naturally he feels attracted to the absolute truth. If we speak falsity, how can the Satyam Param, how can the supreme absolute truth be attracted by falsity? He is all pure. So pure person is attracted to purity. A fallen person is attracted to contamination. So Krishna naturally feels attracted to purity. Does that make sense, Mataji?
It's only that, you know, Krishna already knows his truth, you know, so why does he need to hear it from us?
He feels happy when we glorify him. Krishna feels happy when we glorify him. He feels happy for us because by glorifying Krishna, we will be saved from suffering. We will be saved from the cycle of repeated birth and death. And we will be reinstated in our constitutional position as his servants. That's why he feels happy.
I kind of need you to fill in a gap for me. So, when he hears us glorifying.
Let me ask you a question, Daurangi
Mataji. Yeah.
Suppose you have a child.
Yeah.
Your child is doing something that is good for the child. The child is behaving nicely, getting good grades, playing sports nicely. All the teachers are praising your child. Your child is doing everything that is beneficial for the child, for himself or herself. Will you feel happy?
Yes.
And if the child is doing something that is harmful for the child, the child is breaking the law, doing drugs, having too much screen time, not studying, not getting good grades, wasting time, eating fast food, then will you feel happy or will you feel sad when the child does self-destructive activities?
Of course, I'll feel sad, but obviously I'm asking an obvious question, but I need to ask it anyway. You know, how does glorifying Krishna save us from samsara? Why does that save us from samsara, glorifying Krishna?
Glorifying Krishna saves us from the greatest danger because glorifying Krishna is the process of bhakti. And bhakti is the path to perfection. One of the 9 processes of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atma, nivedanam. Vandanam means to glorify Krishna. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam. Kirtan means kirti. Kirti means to glorify. So when we do kirtan, we are doing Krishna kirti. We are glorifying Krishna. And the nature of glorifying Krishna, the byproduct, the result of glorifying Krishna is that we become purified. We become purified. And if we become purified, then we will be benefited because we will go back to Godhead. So it is like asking, how by taking medicine I will get cured. It is the nature of medicine to cure.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna is the param aushad. He is the supreme medicine. That's why we should drink this medicine of Krishna Naam, Krishna Kirti. Hear this nectar of Krishna Kirti. So sometimes we put medicines in the ears. If there is an ear infection, we put ear drops in the ear, right? By using Q-tips, there is otitis externa. So we put ear drops. If there is a stomach infection, there is H. pylori infection in the stomach, we are getting acidity, ulcers, we take medicine, pantoprazole by mouth to take the infection, cure the infection in the alimentary tract. If there is conjunctivitis, there is infection in the eyes, we put eye drops in the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there is allergy in the nose, we put Flonase spray, medicine in the nose. So similarly, we have infection all over. So with our mouth, if we glorify Krishna, with our ears, if we hear Krishna's glorification, with our eyes, if we see how gloriously Krishna has been decorated, with our nose, we smell how gloriously fragrant his garlands, his perfumes are. All the diseases cured. How that happens? That is natural. That is Krishna's nature.
Mm-hmm.
That is Krishna's nature. It is the absolute truth that Krishna's glorification, Krishna's name purifies.
Mm-hmm.
And sense gratification entangles us. So that is just how it is.
You know, that was a beautiful analogy. I really liked it. You know, how the medicine, different medicines for different parts of the body. I like that. Thank you. I do have a couple more questions. And
when you were talking about the Murari Gupta story, it sounded like this name Sukha was used in connection with Rahadev. Is that correct?
Yes, Mataji. Shukar means a hog or a pig.
Oh, is Shuka or Sukha?
It is Sukar.
Oh, Sukar with an R at the end?
Yes, R at the end. Let me see again.
Oh. Okay, and I missed it. I didn't understand.
It is Sukar. It is Sukar.
Yeah.
What I told you, same. Sukar. Not Shukar, it is Sukar.
Yeah. So what I didn't understand is, you know, I always associate Murari Gupta with Hanuman because it's the same person, and of course in connection to Ram. So I didn't understand why Rahadev was, I didn't understand the relationship here, you know, between Rahadev and Murari Gupta / Hanuman.
Hare Krishna. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to show us an example how he saves his devotees. So just like Varahadev had saved the devotees like Indra and Brahmadev and Varundev from the menace of Hiranyaksha, similarly Mahaprabhu is reassuring Shivananda Sen, Srivas Thakur, Murari Gupta, Advaita Acharya that don't worry, I will protect you from Chandkazi, I will protect you from Nawab Hussain Shah, I will protect you from the atheists, from the Mayavadis. You just carry on with Nam Sankirtan. So he manifested the form of Varahadev. Similarly, when Chandkazi tried to stop the Sankirtan movement, Mahaprabhu became Narasimhadev. He manifested his form as Gaura Narasimha. Here he is Gaura Varaha. And the relationship is like this. Although Murari Gupta is an eternal devotee of Lord Ramchandra, being Hanumanji, but a devotee has affection, respect, glorification for all the avatars. That's why we chant Dasha Avatar Stotra. We glorify all the incarnations. Still there is a Ishtadev. So Murari Gupta doesn't say to Mahaprabhu that, okay, you are Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but my Ishtadev is Ramchandra, Lord Ram. So I will not worship you. I will worship only Lord Ram. No. Worshipping Lord Ram means understanding the other incarnations of Lord Ram. That same Ram came as Varahadev. That same Ram has now come as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Jai Gaura, Sai Krishna, Sai Jagannath. So whoever is your Ishtadev, if Brooklyn, Radha, Govinda are your Ishtadev, when you come to Atlanta, New Paniyati Dham, to meet Jayapataka Swami Maharaj in Paniyati Festival in the month of June, when you see Radha Madan Mohan, you will think that, oh, my Pranadhan, my Radha Govinda Dev have appeared in New Paniyati Dham, Atlanta, Georgia, as Radha Madan Mohan. You go to ISKCON Vrindavan and you will think, oh, my Radha Govinda Dev have appeared here as Radha Shyam Sundar. And all these devotees here in Vrindavan Krishna Balram Temple, they are attracted to Lalita Vishakha Radha Shyam Sundar. Yes, but they are actually expansions of my Radha Govinda Dev. So that is the mood of a devotee. So Murari Gupta also, his Ishtadev is Lord Ramchandra. But when Varahadev appears before him, he thinks, oh, look at my Lord Ramchandra. He saved the world from the menace of Ravan and Kumbhakaran. But in Satya Yuga, my Ramchandra had appeared as Varahadev. How glorious. And in Kali Yuga, he has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why Murari Gupta, he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita Kadachas, the Sanskrit literature where he glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he is a devotee of Lord Ram. So like that. And the beauty is, only in Gaur Lila we see that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he manifests himself in different avatars. He becomes Gaura Varaha. He becomes a Gaura Narasimha. He becomes Shadbhuj Gauranga. He becomes Lord Ramchandra to show Darshan to Murari Gupta during the Mahaprakash Leela. He becomes Lord Narayan to show Mahas Pratap Rudra, who is an incarnation of Indradev. He becomes Tribhanga Shyam Sundar Krishna when he gives Darshan to Ramananda Rai. So like that. So it is only Gauranga Mahaprabhu who can become Krishna, who can become Ram, who can become Varaha, who can become Narasimha. It is only Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You will never see Narasimha Bhagwan showing the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu or showing the form of Lord Ramchandra. It is our sweetest Gauranga Mahaprabhu, our Navadvip Chandra Gauranga Mahaprabhu only, who does this beautiful Leela to steal our hearts. And yet, he is a Channa Avatar. He remains hidden avatar. Not many people know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I grew up in India and never knew about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was not there in any of my school textbooks, history books. We learn about Aurangzeb, but we don't learn about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our history books. It is so sad. But by the mercy of Prabhupada, now we understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sarva Avatara Sara Shiromani. He is the essence of all incarnations. He is the sweetest. Navadvip Dham includes all other dhams. Gauranga Mahaprabhu includes all other avatars, all other incarnations. He is our Supreme Personality of God. He is our Pranthan, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Just see, he can become all these incarnations, all these avatars, but still he doesn't advertise himself as God. Just see the beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So amazing. Just see. Is that okay, Mother?
But you know, Prabhu, you know, we say that there's only one God who manifests in different forms. You know, Lord Nrsimhadev, that's also Krishna who has manifested as Nrsimhadev. So when we say that Nrsimhadev could not, I don't know if it's could not or would not manifest himself.
Does not.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like people say sometimes, one of the four qualities of Krishna that nobody else has is that one of them is Venu Madhuri. Krishna can play the flute, but Lord Ramchandra doesn't play flute.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play flute. Krishna chooses,
right.
And when he comes as Ram, he chooses not to play flute.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah, so you know, if he wanted to, Lord Nrsimhadev, he could have manifested the form as Varahadev or Lord Ram or any of those, right? But he just chooses not to.
Yeah, he does not. That is not the Leela. But Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu
does.
Right. Again, to repeat, the reason why when Lord Varahadev manifested himself to Murari Gupta, it was to save those devotees. What was it that he was saving them from when he manifested as Varahadev?
He was reassuring them that I will save you from the atheists, from the Mlechas, the meat-eating government of Bengal, and the Mayavadis, and everyone else. Anybody who attacks the devotees.
Okay. And Varahadev, I think you said he was born through Lord Brahma's nostril. So that actually makes him, I mean, of course this is Leela, but that, you know, in that way, it makes him Lord Brahma's son, isn't it?
Yes, he appeared through Brahma's body, through his nose. Yeah. Inform him.
Another question was, why is it that Hiranyaksha was being so sarcastic to Varuna? For what reason?
When we are overconfident and when we are arrogant, sarcasm is a byproduct. When we are too happy with our power, we become too arrogant and we are just too overconfident. Then normal speech, straight talk, is below our dignity. And we try to talk sarcastically in a very proud way.
And try to act superior, right?
Yes, Mataji. Right.
Uh-huh. And you said that the reason why Hiranyaksha pulled the earth into the water, he was just, his only motive was just to treat her like a plaything? Or was there any deeper motive to that?
He just wanted to create havoc in the cosmic arrangement. And Bhagavatam simply mentions that the earth had fallen at the bottom of the ocean because of Hiranyaksha. And therefore, basically, the Leela as described in Bhagavatam is Brahmaji's son was Swayambhuva Mani, Manu. And Manu Maharaj, along with other Prajapatis like Marichi, Muni, they approach Brahmaji. They say that you want us to produce different species. You want us to become Prajapati. Swayambhuva Manu says, you want us to become Prajapatis, progenitors. But where will we produce the species? Because Earth has disappeared. It has dropped to the bottom of the ocean. Nobody can find the Earth. So how do we produce? Then Brahmaji starts praying to Lord Vishnu that Bhudevi has disappeared. She has been lost somewhere in the Garbhodaka ocean. Can you please help? Then from his nostril, answering Brahmaji's prayers, from Brahma's nostril, Varahadeva comes and immediately goes and he sniffs for the Earth, finds her and brings her and rescues her. That is the Leela. Hare Krishna.
And you also said that, thank you, Prabhu. You also said that to please his brother Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu went touring all over the Brahmanda. How was that supposed to please him?
Hiranyakashipu wanted to become the most powerful person in the Brahmanda. In the entire universe. So he wanted some assistant who will do his bidding. So because Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy everybody, control everybody, defeat everybody, Hiranyakashipu said, oh, my dear older brother, you relax, you enjoy. I will do this for you. I will go and create havoc. I will go and defeat everybody. And I will conquer all the directions for you. So he went on a conquering spree. And he was quite successful until he met Varahadeva. And then Varahadeva killed him. And then Hiranyakashipu became very angry. Then he wanted to become more powerful because he thought my brother was killed by Vishnu very easily with just one slap. That means he must be very powerful, so I must become more powerful. So then again he goes, and for thousands of years, he does more austerities, becomes even more powerful, and then comes back like that. Mm-hmm. So to please him. So this is the effect of wrong association. Just like Narakasur associated with the evil Banasur. And then he also started, earlier he was protecting devotees, protecting the Brahmanas. But after associating with Banasur, he started attacking the devotees, started attacking the Devatas. So similarly, Karna was evil, but he had a lot of noble qualities. He was very charitable, he used to speak the truth. He used to follow the Kshatriya codes. But sitting with Duryodhan, Karna also became in that bad association. Karna also became contaminated, and he suggested that Draupadi is a prostitute. Bring her and strip her naked. Later on, when Krishna confronted him, Karna said, actually, I don't know how I spoke those words. It was very uncharacteristic of me. I think I spoke it just to please Duryodhan, because it would make Duryodhan happy. I was sitting with him. So similarly, Hiranyaksha also, just to make his older brother, his superior, happy, he was trying to do what Hiranyakashipu would have wanted him to do. That is, go around defeating everybody unnecessarily to subdue them. This is the effect of association.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And you also mentioned that there's this the red incarnation of Varahadev. I don't know if you...
Yes, Shweta Varaha,
yes, thank you.
Rakta Varaha, White Varaha and Red Varaha.
Is this... Well, maybe that's beyond the scope of this class to talk about his story, Red Varaha.
Yeah, even I don't know the details, Mataji, but our acharyas mentioned that there were two incarnations. There are unlimited incarnations of Lord Varahadeva, but we have a documentation of two. Once he came as Shweta Varaha, that was in the first Manvantar, and then he came in the sixth Manvantar as Rakta Varaha, where he killed Hiranyakashipu, where he killed Hiranyaksha.
Uh-huh. So the golden one was the first one, and...
No, the white one was the first one. Fair one was the first one. Shweta Varaha was first. And second was Rakta.
Okay. Rakta, that's the one you spoke of today.
Yes, rakta means blood, red.
So the Vahadeva that you spoke of today, he's red?
Yes, reddish color.
Oh. Okay. You said that, this story was being told by Maitreya Muni to Vidura, right?
Yes.
But it was nested within, I think, Shukadeva's telling. To who was Shukadeva telling this story to?
No, Suta Goswami is telling Shaunak Adi Rishis. They are asking questions. And then
Goswami.
Yeah, Suta Goswami is answering based on what he has heard.
Okay.
He's telling what conversation happened between Vidur and Maitreya. So in the course of narrating that, this story comes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you said Suta. I thought you said Suta. Yeah. One last thing is who is Nakasura? He had fallen. Well, Naka. First he was Naka. He fell into this bad association of Banasura. What is Banasura famous for?
Banasura is mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Krishna book, Prabhupada describes very nicely. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva, but then he became very arrogant because of the powers that he received from Lord Shiva. He had 1,000 arms and he wanted someone to fight with him. He became very arrogant, started offending the demigods, started offending the devotees. He was such a great devotee that when he used to play the drum, mridang, Shivji would come and dance. Just imagine, when we play mridang, nobody dances. But when Banasura would play mridang, Shivji would come and dance. And then Shivji was so pleased with his drum playing that Shivji told Banasura, ask me for any benediction. So Banasura said, I love to play drum, but I have only 2 hands. Give me 1,000 arms so I can play many drums for you. So Shivji gave him the benediction. He got powerful 1,000 arms. And he became so arrogant because of that. He would just challenge anybody and they would just run away in fear, seeing his power. And he became arrogant. Power makes us arrogant. Arrogance makes us commit Vaishnava Aparad. We commit Vaishnava Aparad and we just fall down. So he became very abominable. And then in his association, even Narkasura became very abominable. Both were powerful, both were proud and arrogant and offenders. Krishna killed both of them. Krishna killed Banasura also, and Krishna killed Narkasura also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Narkasura wanted to break Krishna's record. He had read in the scriptures that in some millennium, Krishna had come and he had thousands of wives, 16,108 wives. So some acharyas commented that he was collecting brides and in one go he wanted to marry more than Krishna. Krishna has 16,108 wives, he wanted to marry 17,000-18,000 brides in one go. So he was arresting them and he was going to marry them all together. But before he could reach the golden number, Krishna came and killed him and gave
Shiva
18,000. Yeah.
That was Banasura or Nagasura?
Banasura was different. Banasura, Krishna attacked and Shankar Bhagwan came to help him. Ganesh, Ganpati, Kartika came to help him. This Banasura. But Krishna defeated all of them.
So Nagasura, he was in competition with his own father, right? And trying to...
What? Narakasura what?
Was in competition with his own father.
Yes, but he doesn't know, he probably did not realize that Krishna is Varahadev. His father was Varahadev, his mother was Bhudevi, earth.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so bewildered by his own power and prestige and arrogance that he just wanted to become the most powerful person, more powerful than Dwarkadish Krishna.
Uh-huh.
He was the same Varahadev. Had come as Krishna to Vapar Yuga and killed him.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, you have exhibited transcendental patience with all my questions. I'm so grateful, Prabhu. Thank you very, very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji, for your nice questions. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare
so
Krishna.
Thank you. Very, very wonderful. Very interesting class and nice
answers. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Komodaki Mataji. Hare Krishna. Prandavar Pranam.
Hare Krishna. More often. Give more classes. You hear?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. By your blessings. Hare Krishna.
Hello,
Pranams. You know, very, very nice class, and your class is rich with the pastimes and also your own personal experiences, and always a lot of you know, lessons that we need to learn. So we are very grateful for this package, Prabhuji. Very, very fortunate to have your esteemed association. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Ji Adi Kada Darvas Prabhu, Koti Koti Dhanwad Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Almost all point cover, Prabhuji. Bhashi Shirata Kopinath Mercy, Prabhuji. Now at least 25% lecture I can remember. Prabhuji, I know today you don't have time, but can you please share in a Bhakti Sangha group, Jayati Jayati, sing for all of us, and first three sloka you sing, prayers of Advaita Acharya, Nityananda, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can you sing that three prayers and Jayati Jayati prayers, and you sing such a nice Murari Gupta's prayer, Janme Janme, Suniye Murari, Shraddha, and you sing one more sloka very nicely for Nityananda. Stuti, not sloka. So can you please, I know that you are working, at present not possible, but can you please share whenever you free in a Bhakti Sangha group, sing for all of us. Dandvat Pranam. Thank
Krishna.
You very much for today's class, Prabhu. Dandvat Pranam. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam.
Great, Krishna. Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, for kind words. Hare Krishna. I will send it to Priti Vilasini Mataji and it will be shared on Bhakti Sangha group, Mataji. Don't worry.
This question is for all preachers, Prabhuji. We learn Bhakti Sangha, one Vaishnava song from all preachers.
Jai Ho, Jai Ho. Very nice. Hare Krishna.
Especially, please send the Jayati Jayati Stuti, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji, I will share.
Sing for us.
I will sing. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvar Pranams. Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji. I just had a couple of comments on the questions Gaurangi Mataji just asked. Actually, it was explained in the the following purports that the Lord didn't actually care, even though the demon, he actually hurled insults at the Lord. So, but like you rightly said, in the other purport, Prabhupada does mention that, the Lord is sentient and he has feelings too, and to debunk the Mayava theory. So, but in the later purpose, he also mentions the Lord couldn't care less. He was just doing his duty of protecting his devotees. And also, I think there is some significance to the fact that the Lord, he delivered a blow to the lower part of his ear, and that kind of, rendered him dead. Because I have heard of this martial arts in India, especially from Kerala. It's called Kalaripayattu. And there they have this marma, it's called the marma points, like some kind of pressure points. They also do therapy based on this. So this, like the lower part of the ear, and there are several such points they work on. So, and there are these pressure points. When you hit on them, a person can die. He can be like paralyzed, and his body structure can be deformed. I mean, there are several effects depending on how the blow is rendered. So I've heard a person can even die from that kind of a blow, and they do practice it in somewhere in Kerala. I'm not sure which place exactly, and it's also used for therapies. You know, if somebody has some kind of a physical a problem or an issue, they access these pressure points in the body and try to give some relief. I just wanted to share, Prabhuji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji, for your comments. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So it is 1 o'clock. If it's okay, we can end the class. Hare Krishna.
అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృంద కి జయ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద కి జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు కి జయ సదేవ్ కి జయ హిస్ అండ్ హిస్ గ్రేస్ ఆది గదర్ ప్రభుజీ
దాస్ ప్రభు కి జయ
ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యు జయ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద
హరే కృష్ణ
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.